Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wealth and Wisdom Radio Show. I'm your host, Jaden Sterling, author of the newly crowned international best-selling book, The Alchemy of True Success. And I want to thank everyone with all my heart who helped me make that possible. I'm very, very grateful to all my wonderful listeners and book buyers from Canada, the U.S., France, the U.K., Asia, Australia, and those beyond the physical realm who are tuning in right now. So a big heartfelt thank you so much for that. Now, before I introduce my terrific guest to you, I wanted to answer a question I received from a lot of people regarding last week's show with Doreen Virtue. A lot of people weren't able to listen in during their workday, so they've asked me if there's an archive of the show, and there definitely is. All you have to do is log into Wealth and Wisdom Radio here on Blog Talk, and if you look under my archive shows, you will see that show listed from last week. So that it's easy to get to, and eventually they will all be up on iTunes, the entire archive series. So you can either go there, or you can also find them on my website, which is www.thewealthquest.com. So I hope that helps some people with that question that they had. So today, after some confusion early on, I'm happy to say I have a very special guest with me. Bill, you're on the line, right?
I'm here. I hope you can hear me now.
I can, yes. Can you turn the volume up a little bit on your phone?
Okay, I was on the phone, and then my phone didn't work calling you. I had to call you back on my Skype line. So we're dancing around here like crazy. Let me go to my mic and just pump it up a little bit. Does that sound better?
Okay, yeah, that's terrific.
A little bit more, how about that? That good?
That's great.
Okay, good.
Good, so I want to share with our listeners that, you know, my wife and I found you through our friend Christina Walsh at Align Radio, and she said, this guy's terrific, you got to read his blogs, and she would forward my blogs to me, and then I started forwarding them to my wife, and now they get forwarded around her office and to all her friends, and we just love your work.
Thank you.
And I thought it would be really fun to have you on the show and to introduce your work to my listening audience, because I've never had an astrologer on, so this will be great. So let me introduce you to everyone. Bill Attride has lived and worked as a professional astrologer in New York City for over 30 years. Bill is known for his unique integration of the spiritual and the psychological dimensions of astrology. He has a bachelor's degree in anthropology and political science and a master's degree in economics and philosophy. Through Bill's work, he emphasizes personal growth and development through greater self-awareness. He considers astrology to be one of the most ancient methods by which we can more correctly understand our purpose and so more knowingly direct our lives along meaningful pathways. Bill has been featured in articles in such diverse publications as New Woman Magazine, Avenue Magazine, and the Sunday Business section of the New York Times. And as I mentioned, Bill is the author of a very popular blog called Astrology Bill Attride, Astrological Advice and Observations. So, Bill, welcome to the Wealth and Wisdom Radio Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. I've been looking forward to this for, you know, ever since we've been talking about having you on the show, because, you know, when I was a kid, I remember reading books written by Carl Sagan. Do you remember Carl Sagan?
Oh, sure. I loved him.
Yeah. So, you know, he's the pioneer in the field of astronomy. But it seems that you take the study of the planets to an entirely different level, in that you're able to interpret the planetary alignments and how they affect people's lives. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that and how you got interested in that?
Well, yeah, astrology, I stumbled into astrology having gone down a path of, you know, being a philosopher and a critical thinker, and so it wasn't something that would naturally come to me, but I had come to a dead end in my studies in philosophy, as it were, and I was looking for direction, and I took up the works of Carl Jung and read the entire collected works over many, many months, taking copious notes, having the most amazing dream life. So I did that. And at the same time, by coincidence, but it wasn't, of course, I met an astrologer who sort of took me under her wing and began doing readings with her friends. And I would notice things she was pointing out, and I noticed them to her. And she just gave me a book and said, go read this book. And I just read for a while everything in the field. And I was so excited because it was answering so many questions for me in terms of, you know, that whole idea of the left brain, right brain, logic versus intuition. And it sort of brought everything together for me in terms of all that I'd studied, whether in metaphysics or philosophy and science and psychology. It became a vehicle to bring it all out together in, and I began doing readings for friends with no intention still of being an astrologer. And they all said, gee, this is great, keep doing this. And it just sort of took over my life. And I've just been doing it for over 30 years now. And it's really quite amazing to be able to work with people and talk about themselves, their lives, and to give them that much greater reassurance that it's okay to be who they are, to further acknowledge who they are, and to go out and be more of that, and to sort of release themselves from themselves, as it were, and find their truer path in life. It's an honor and a privilege, and I really have had a great life doing this for me.
Yeah, that's fantastic, because you learned early on, because you're, like you said, you have a background in economics, and were you intending to do something with that different than what you're doing now?
Well, yeah, I suppose I was either going to head to the fields of academia and teach history and economics and philosophy, or go to Wall Street and work on Wall Street. In fact, I had a woman come do a reading for me years and years ago, and she says, oh my gosh, you should be in Wall Street, you'd make millions, which I didn't care about, so wasn't in my, but I began certainly in the 80s when I was doing this to begin with. I was doing a number of readings for people, and right before that big crash in 87, I gave advice to certain people to get out of the market right before it happened, and then that became when people said, oh my goodness, and so they began coming to me for that. I had a Wall Street newsletter for many years where I had top financial advisors getting my forecast of what was going to happen in the market, and I really enjoyed that sort of bringing my old knowledge and teaching into this new methodology. But I always preferred working one-on-one with people in terms of spiritual and emotional development, and that's what I've made my focus. But certainly part of life is economic life, and it certainly is something that comes up in most every reading that one does in terms of people's careers and life paths and how to live their life. It comes in all the time.
That makes sense to me, and I have a similar background. I started out in finance, working on Wall Street with Merrill Lynch and Citigroup, and I kind of felt the same thing, this inkling deep inside that, you know, there's got to be more to life and more to my purpose than just making a bunch of money for my clients. And are there, you know, go back to when you were talking about that you wrote that newsletter, though, because this is called the Wealth and Wisdom Radio Show, and a lot of times, you know, I look at wealth and abundance as an abundance of other things other than money, too. You know, it's our the love that we have in our lives, our relationships, the joy, the passion that we feel, and so that it creates a balance for us. But are there any planets that are specific to, are there any so-called money planets out there that if they were actually in an alignment in someone's chart, that it would be the more auspicious than others?
Well, sure. I mean, every planet can be, every planet, every sign, every house of the chart can be read on many different levels, whether looking at a person's physical form or their emotional development or spiritual development, their what qualities they bring to the work that they do and the income they could earn or the ways they resource their life. So it's not as if any one factor is the key to that. But in certain people's charts, you would look for things like someone who, for instance, had Jupiter in their second house. One would often say to a person like that, well, you're never going to have to worry about money because they have a sense of abundance and generosity in life that allows them to keep on bringing in and then sharing what they bring and hopefully throughout their life. And they're good at manifesting and making things happen. Or someone with Jupiter in their 10th house, the house of your social position and achievements, would be known for their trustworthiness, and they tend to have a very protected career and are seen as trustworthy people, and their word is their bond, and so they can make great and good deals and find a lot of support. Contrary-wise, someone with Saturn in their second house, you would want to advise them to stop worrying about money because they then attract money troubles, of course. It's the whole thing of fear, and you make your reality, and you try to encourage them to see what that test is and learn to work that through so they don't attract even more difficulties into their life. Or, for instance, Saturn being in the 10th house, the person does struggle with what is success, and often they drive themselves to succeed, but they may be doing it for the wrong reasons or going in the wrong direction, taking other people's advice or example as to what they should follow, and fail to achieve their true life mission. So you'd want to give them advice and saying, well, it doesn't matter where you're going, but it matters why you're going there. And the point is not just to get there and feel good about it. Feel good about yourself is really, really important. So you do look at certain planets as being more helpful, more abundant, and those are the lesser and greater benefics, Venus and Jupiter, and where they are in a person's chart show where you can expect that sort of good fortune, good luck, or good energies coming in. And more challenging influence, and certainly would be Saturn, where you might find more restriction and difficulty in your life, and it may be economic and maybe something else. So there are things you can discern. And then looking in the heavens as the ongoing aspects day in, day out, that we're all of us living in a ongoing, grieving, present chart, because all the planets are moving around us constantly. There are years where things are more fortuitous for the world as a whole, and years that are more challenging, and sort of cycles of when things would be more propitious to be involved in terms of whether to be involving oneself, let's say, in investments, whether one want to go into stocks and those kinds of vehicles, or move into commodities, or move into real estate. There's a cycling of those energies that I was talking about a lot in my newsletter back in the 80s and 90s for people. So yeah, you can look at it very specific to an individual and their ability to make a living or make investments or where they should put their assets and resources. And for the economy as a whole, you can say whether we're going through a more challenging or easy time.
So
exactly.
Yeah. So there are, from my understanding, we have a birth chart. So whatever the alignment of the planets are at the time of our birth creates a sort of a snapshot, right?
Way we look at it is that the chart, the energies are constantly moving, but when something begins, whether it's the start of a company or the beginning of a nation being born, declaring itself independent, or an individual coming into existence, at that moment of inception, the energies are aligned a certain way, and you are an answer to a cosmic question. You are energized with that energy matrix, which you carry out into your life. And so you're born with certain strengths and talents and abilities and certain challenges. And then as the ongoing energies evolve around you, you hit into more easygoing and more challenging years and days and weeks, depending upon how the planets around you are intersecting with your own given natal arrangements. So it becomes pretty complex, but actually you can step back and look at the big picture and get a pretty good idea of what's going on. But it is quite challenging when you sort of dig into it and realize how complex it really is.
It sounds like it. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of years ago I heard that Nancy Reagan had a personal astrologer. It was sort of on the QT. You know, she didn't want a lot of people to know, but she was the one who told her husband, Ronald Reagan, when to do certain things, like when to meet with Gorbachev and when to create an international peace and harmony. So she really helped orchestrate that through her astrologer, depending on, you know, what the planets were doing and what. Do you find that, so for businesses, like if someone wanted to start a business, it would probably be a good thing for them to look at or have someone do a reading for them or do a chart for them to say when the right time is to start that business. Would you agree?
Oh, certainly. You would look at the general conditions to see what, given the nature of their business, whether this is a propitious time for businesses in general to be launched, and you'd want to avoid certain things like Mercury retrograde or certain challenging aspects. Why bring that into your business if you can avoid that? And then in their own chart, you would say, well, yes, this is the year for planting seeds and initiating something, or no, this is the year for preparing and being more in the background and not putting yourself out there. So you wouldn't want to launch a business. You want the wind at your back, not in your face. So, for instance, an individual, every 12 years, the planet Jupiter, the greater benefic, will come into your first house, and that tends to be a time when you begin projects, begin activities, and begin to manifest a new cycle of growth, which in about 9 years later, or 9-10 years later, when Jupiter gets to your 10th house, the highest point of your chart, that's when you would reach the sort of the maximum of that cycle and reaping what you had now sown many, many years ago. So you can sort of time a person's life, and individuals have different, their own cycles that may be more specific to them. But there are some general rules of thumb you can quickly use and say, oh, yeah, this is a good year for you, or no, this is the year to lay low and get ready for next year, perhaps, in terms of when it would be best to put yourself out there.
Wonderful. You know, there are some people right now who are having difficulty hearing us, but some people can hear us. So there's some folks saying that there's no sound. Whoever can hear us, you know, if you can just kind of type in the chat room, if you can hear us, let us know. If you can't, I recommend logging out and then logging back in, because we had to create an entirely new link to this show so you could hear us. So, and then we've got some people typing. Let me see what they're saying here. But then some people, Kathy Lloyd, hello Kathy, she can hear us. And then try playing in default player, I can hear. Okay, so exactly, try the default player for those folks who can't hear us, although let me just write that, that's already typed in. Yeah, so Bill, sorry, I didn't mean to stop the flow there. I just wanted to address the...
No, you want to make sure you have listeners. And if we need to, and I'm fine with this, we can do this again when all the technical stuff has been cleared up and this kind of stuff happens. It's okay.
Well, you're terrific. And I I'll definitely have you back on. But let's keep going, because I think we've got quite a few listeners who can hear us. So we have an initiation of... anything that gets started, or a sort of a rite of passage, and we look at the alignment then when something is created, but then also the planets are in constant motion, right? Like they're just constantly moving and affecting us. So can you tell some of our listeners who may, you know, some of them may be new to this, but can you share with them the effect that, let's say, that you see this year going into 2013 in terms of, you know, what we can hope for or look forward to as it relates to whether is it a good time to be starting new businesses and investing in things like that? Or,
well, for it would, it certainly, you'd want as an individual to make a really good decision, you'd want your own chart to know what's happening in it to see whether what kind of year you're having. In terms of the world in general, there are a number of nice factors in a more within this 1 year that are look very favorable, in the sense that Jupiter, again, the greater benefic, is moving into the sign that it's said to be exalted in, the sign of Cancer, at the end of June, and will be there for a year. And when a good planet, so to speak, goes into a sign it's comfortable in, it tends to radiate out and affect many other things. And so that is a positive, a net positive for many, many things in the world in terms of increasing security and well-being and improvement in terms of land and agricultural interests and mining interests, because Cancer rules those things and Jupiter would help those things. So you would look at certain elements that might be ruled by that sign and Jupiter there and say, okay, those would be maybe more better investments or better ways to allocate one's resources. And because of this movement, the general weather forecast would be better than it might have been a year or two before. But we're certainly going through such great upheavals worldwide brought about by bigger, heavier weight planets like Uranus and Pluto that everybody has this sort of nervousness about what's happening in the world in terms of all the institutions and structures that are changing or crashing and burning and having to be reborn, that it's kind of hard for people to discern where is safety, where is security, where is that more or less certain bet I could make in terms of to move myself or to do whatever. And they're quite right. We haven't gone through changes like this in quite a long time, I would say for over 200 years. And so that provides a lot of opportunities because there are a number of new and emerging either industries or areas of growth that will be the answers to many of our problems in the not too distant future. But some of the old ways and old structures are falling apart and will fall down and will not continue. And of course, you wouldn't want to place your bets there. And so you have to sort of look out of the landscape and say, gee, who's becoming part of the solutions that we need and who's causing more of the problems that we're faced with in terms of where you'd want to allocate your resources in investment or starting a business or continuing a business. It is a much trickier time than in other times. Let's put it that way.
You know, that's a good point, because it seems like with the, you know, after we got through that big brouhaha about the end of the Mayan calendar, that to you, did you interpret that as, well, we are entering into a new era or a new age?
Well, there are so many different systems and cycles and ages that one could point to, and that we would say, yes, some of the things that are going on right now are pointing to the beginning of a new cycle emerging, let's say in the 2020s, when we begin to move to the new Jupiter-Saturn mutation. This is a cycle that lasts roughly 180 years. And the last one was Jupiter. What they do is Jupiter and Saturn line up every 20 years. And in over the course of a number of alignments like that, they will do it in a certain element. In this case, it's been doing it in air. And then it will transition to a series of alignments next in Earth now. It will move into air. And so while it's been in Earth since the 1840s, it's been an age of great materialism and material growth in the world. But now we're going to be moving into a different kind of dominant theme beginning in the 2020s and thereafter. And this is one of the things that astrologers have looked at for thousands of years in terms of understanding what are the major themes in a cultural and economic period. So there are signs pointing that we're at an end of an age, beginning of a new one just with that. There are even longer cycles, you know, that we are caught up in. So when you try to say, well, which cycle are we looking at here, it gets pretty complex because you have cycles of just a year and the cycles of 10 years and cycles of 500 years and cycles of 25,000 years or so and longer. And so people talk about changes in cycles and you're always say, well, which one are you talking about or which ones are you talking about? Becomes the important thing to figure out. I would certainly say that we live in at a very special time in that now we're connecting ourselves to one another and experiencing things in ways we could not have before in terms of similar events, events being shared by many, many millions of souls at the same time. And so a quickening in the planet is occurring, both in terms of people sharing understanding and experiences with one another that is quite special. And certainly that is playing a big role in speeding up the changes that we're all experiencing now.
Yes. Now, did you say we're going from air to earth?
I misspoke. We've been in Earth and the Earth conjunctions of Jupiter and Saturn since the 1800s. We're moving into the air conjunctions. And this is something that's happened quite regularly. And in a way, it goes from just following like the elements, fire, earth, air, water, It was a water series of conjunctions from the 1400s to the 1600s. And then it went to fire from the 1600s to the 1840s. And that was what I would call the age of explorations. Then the Earth period of manifestation was from the 1840s now to the 2020. And this is a time of materialization, of manifestation. And then we're going to go in the 2020s to 2159 to this air realm. And it's going to be a very different kind of dominant theme that prevails in the world during that period.
And what can we expect during the air theme for that period of time? Any ideas?
Less concerned about materiality, which is what this whole age has been about manifesting and building and creating in the physical world. And we created wonders and great wealth, but also great waste and poisons. so now we have to fix all that. So I'm calling this, many call it different things. Some call it the age of new thought or the age of etherealization or age of new kinds of connectivity. And the similar period for prior in history was the late 1100s to the 1220s. And that was known back then in terms of looking at the Western model as a time of a renaissance. It was the early renaissance in Europe and a time of great new thinking and new thoughts and changes that took place in the world then were quite profound. And so not that any age repeats what one did before, but certainly we're coming to a change. And there are many different intersecting cycles that say we're at this point of change. And we all sort of look at our culture and see what's happening around us and in the world and the environment. And we all realize, well, whether we wish it or want it, or certainly we do wish and want it, change is here. Big changes are here. And we just are trying to figure out what's being asked of us and how we can help to bring it about is really what the point is. Because we are now in in a series of great, great changes that will leave us in a new world in the 2020s. That's what's going to happen here.
That's exciting. Now, 2020 is 7 years away. Is it safe to say that we're probably feeling the effects of that change starting now?
Oh, sure. I sort of said that the final acts of blasting through to this was going to happen between 2008 up till 2024, because that's when Pluto, the outermost planet, is moving through Capricorn. And whenever it does so, institutions are broken down and fall apart. They try to hold on to the power that they have, but new and emerging centers of power and ways of being are coming about that will become the dominant themes. Just like in the 1500s, it was the end of the feudal order and a beginning of a new kind of ordering of systems and a breaking apart of the church. And in the 1700s, it was the rise of America and France and parliamentary democracies and a new kind of economic political order took hold then. What we're witnessing now in our world is that order breaking down. It's trying to hold on. It's trying to maintain. But the way we relate in the world now is moving us beyond national borders and nationalism, but we're going global, of course, but we're also trying to protect and take care of ourselves locally, and trying to understand how we do that is this next great movement we're moving into here in the 2020s. But the old age is going through its final moments here, and it's not pretty. It's never pretty. Because it doesn't want to let go, and it shouldn't, because it should do everything it can to preserve and pass on what is worthy and should be passed on. But many power centers and people who have power don't want to give it up or yield it. And so, unfortunately, the birth process of a new age and order is somewhat painful. And we're experiencing that around the world, in the Middle East, in China, in Europe, and here in America, great struggles over what we think our world should be like and how we should conduct ourselves in it. And those questions will continue to be struggled over the next several years until we begin to move into the truly new age.
Wow. It's exciting, isn't it? And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Wealth and Wisdom Radio Show. I'm your host, Jaden Sterling, and I have Bill Attride with me today. And he is known as a celebrity astrologer and has done readings for over 30 years for people from all over the world, and he's just fascinating. Bill, you're a fascinating guy. You have so many neat aspects of you because you tie in the history and you tie in, you know, then just the basic fundamentals of economics, and then you also have a sort of a slant toward an all-knowing, if you will.
Well, I take as my principal focus in my work, and I'm very thankful for that, is that being a student, as we all are, of the ancient teachings, the ancient wisdom from which spring all religions and philosophies and teachings, that it always brings me back to center, that what I'm doing in my work and with clients individually and also in the blog and now the book that I'm working on, is that's what people need, especially in a time of transition and crisis and change. They need to be reminded of the fundamental teachings that have always guided us, will always guide us. And periodically, emissaries and examples and avatars are sent out to restate those truths, whether Buddha, Krishna, Christ, Lao Tzu, Zoroaster, Pythagoras, and many, many unknown to us. They all came to pretty much say the same thing. And then people later on formed perhaps belief systems and religions around them, and a lot was lost. But if you go back to their original teachings and sift through them, you find the kernels there of a one true teaching that all can sort of take some comfort in and find their way through. And we need that more than ever right now because, again, many institutions have failed people, whether they look at education, they look at religion, they look at government, and they throw up their hands and say, what can we do? It's all not working. And yet we have to be careful because we're putting the blame out there, saying if only we could fix that thing out there, it would be okay. But of course, all those things are made up of you and me. It's we who have to change, not the thing out there. It will change. Yes, it will and must. But it will only change because our own hearts and minds become more attuned to the real, what we're really here for. And it's always been a very clear dividing line between selfishness and selflessness, which all the teachers have come down to explain and teach. And the more people pulling in the right direction, the sooner we can bring about a golden age back on Earth again. So we're all pulling for that.
It's interesting because I see the children who, so if we look at 2020, the kids who are born early 2000, they'll be coming of the age, you know, where they can start making an impact. And so many of them are about love. You know, they just, big hearts. I mean, of course, that's how children are. But I think that they are really enlightened to the plight of the earth and to the plight of many people here, that they know intuitively they came here to help affect this change.
Sure. No. And again, there are different generations come in born with the outer planets, especially, which are more generational or even longer, with the certain configurations that speak to what they're going to be doing down here. And of course, the older generation is tasked with trying to preserve and protect and pass down what should be, but the up and coming generations are here to say, no, we got to change things, and they're right there on the front lines, and we are at a turning. And so there's a need for the front line people who are at the advancing wave of the new, and the old guard sort of trying to keep it somewhat in check, but not prevent it from coming into the new.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a balancing act here. But again, we're at a wonderful time to be here on the planet, because we're really tasked here with trying to preserve and protect and pass down what has been a great achievement in terms of human development and evolution over time. And yet we know what got us here can't get us to there. We know we have to make some major changes in how we relate to ourselves and relate to our world if we're going to sustain this.
So I agree. And this global economic sort of meltdown that we experienced needed to precede this change, didn't it?
Well, I don't know if it is a specific act. Certainly it happened, and whether it had to happen the way it happened, but it's the nature of the economic model that we have, that it goes through these great swings between optimism and pessimism, faith and fear. And people often say, oh, what drives the market? You know, the reason why astrology works in predicting markets is because what are markets really? They're really made up of you and me, of people having faith or fear about what's going to happen. And what drives people's feelings about that and their sense about that is the energies around them, whether they're feeling like, no, things are moving and growing and getting better, or no, this is a time when things are falling apart. And I want to just, you know, burrow down and go into my safety place. So it really, we really can sort of see these moments occurring and why it tends to make these wild swings at times. And the idea is we'd like to see it be a little calmer if possible, not swinging so wildly, because there's great waste when that occurs. And again, always it goes farther than people ever thought it would. People were screaming about a bubble in the late 90s, and people weren't listening to them because while it's happening, people are having a great time. And when it blows up, people go, "Oh my God! You mean it is just like before?" Because they're always saying, when it's occurring, "Oh, it's different this time." And that's when people who know, who've been through many cycles, say, "Oh boy, that's a sign. That's a tell. We're about to turn." Because the laws of life have not been suspended, and human nature being what it is, we will, you know, create our own karma here of what we must face. And so we did. And so it's, you know, over time, each generation has to learn these lessons. That's what occurs.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. You know, it's there is waste in the big swings, but there's also real opportunity there. You know, if someone is stepping back and not is sort of taking a counter popular approach to their investing, whereas, you know, when everyone's buying that, they're, you know, taking some profits. They don't need to be too greedy about stuff, but just going, okay, well, that stock did well, or that real estate investment did well, I think I'll sell it now when there's buyers. And then at the time when there's a lot of sellers in the market, when it's going down, that's the time to start buying. So I think if someone can just sort of not do what everyone else is doing, you know, in terms of their investing strategies, they can probably do a whole lot better than most.
Oh, sure. There are people who are very good at understanding the cyclic and the GAN cycles and many astrological cycles in terms of timing, whether the business cycle or, which is separate from the business cycle, the stock market or investing cycles. And there are many famous examples in history of people who knew when to get in and out of the market based upon their knowledge or their astrologer's knowledge they were getting information from, like J.P. Morgan. I mean, he made his fortune because he moved in exactly when everybody was selling, and he bought everything a penny to the dollar, and so made a killing because he knew what he was doing. He knew this is when everybody's selling, this is when I want to be buying. And so, yes, but you have to have the resources and the acumen and the stomach to do that.
Yes.
Because not many people have that kind of nerve.
Yeah, stocks are the only thing that people don't buy when they're on sale.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a good, I like that. That's a good line. And yet, of course, you know, they will come back. There was a thing I did in one of my economic studies and making these forecasts back in the 80s and 90s. I noticed the cycle of the declination, which is whether a planet is north or south of the ecliptic plane, the plane of the planets moving around the sun. And when Saturn was south, it was very favorable for being in certain investment vehicles. And when it crossed the line and went north, you want to get out of them because it was going to go the other way. And it really had held up in the Dow for a couple hundred years that you could really do Dow timing using this one method alone. Of course, you wouldn't want to use just one technique. You'd want to have other examples that were confirming your signals. But it really was quite striking. You can find these parallels in terms of planetary alignments and positionings that are reflected in whether the business cycle or the investment cycles. And so that's what people who know do in terms of going for advice to various analysts.
Yes. So let's go back to, because I'm fascinated with this new era that we're entering into in 2020 with air, the element mm-hmm. of air. It seems to me now more than ever, people are having the courage to step into their purpose, you know, step into what they're really here to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not an accident of what's going on right now? I mean, is it really part of what's happening with the planets and the alignment?
Well, there could be several intersecting elements that are bringing that about at our time right now. One is the planet Uranus, the awakener, has moved back into Aries for the first time in about 80 some odd years. And when it does so, it certainly is a time when people are called upon more to show their independence and originality, to be authentic, to be pioneers, and bring that energy forward that would contribute to that. And just now in the last year or two, the planet Neptune has now moved into Pisces for the first time since the 1840s. And that's its own sign. And this is when it does so, it raises the level of spiritual intuition and understanding in the world such that the veil between the different worlds is thinner. And so there's more phenomena, but more insight and intuition that's taking hold for many people who are open to that in terms of faith-based activities and being dreamers and visionaries. So that's adding to the mix as well. So there are several sort of intersecting things. Yes, prior to this shift of the Jupiter-Saturn alignments in air that are making this a time where people are, as you say, stepping more into this alignment with their themselves and trying to be authentic and truly individualized, and both in terms of their own need to be free to be themselves, but not do that at the expense of others, but try to empower other people, knowing that my own freedom can't and should not be at the expense of others. That's not freedom. I need to do things or any and all because we all benefit from that. The more people who are empowered and able to realize their fuller potential, the more we can quickly solve the problems in this world and create a beautiful world. I mean, that's it. We're only holding ourselves back by limiting individuals and groups of individuals' potentials. So, yes, I think that understanding is taking hold now, that our greatest resource is not in diamonds or oil. It's in the person you look at in the eye.
Right.
And you want to empower them, and you want to empower one another, because we're the dreamers, we're the makers, we're making all this happen, and you want to release that as powerfully and as purely as you can.
Mm-hmm. I like that, Bill. Are you ready for a couple of callers? We have some folks holding quite a while. Okay.
Oh sure,
let's
sure.
Click on. Let's see. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Paige.
Paige Stevenson?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm super duper.
Good. Thanks for calling. Bill, this is my good friend Paige Stevenson, and she's called in from Calgary. So, Paige, what question can Bill answer for you?
Well, I love what I'm hearing, Bill. I'm a Pisces with a sun and moon Pisces.
Okay.
But I do have my Capricorn rising, so I'm grounded.
Yes, which is good. You need that.
I love what you're saying about the 2020, what's coming in. I totally understand that. My question is more around when I hear, you're coming into this, or this is going to come into your sign, and this will mean whatever. I'm thinking more of the less favorable things.
Okay.
Do we have to necessarily take that into our psyche, or can we put things in place to combat that so that we don't have to go through the nasties? Or is it deemed for us, you know? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. I like to look at Pisces as being that sign that sort of best sums up the human experience, that we are the dreamers and visionaries who make our reality happen. But of course, we're not yet without an unconscious and not without fear and doubt. So the reality we create over time is a compound mixture of our hopes and our fears. And so what we face in our near and far future is not always that perfect thing we dreamed of, but what we can do every day is accept that, say, okay, I could have done that better. Obviously, that's why it's happening like this today. But I can't change what was, and I can't know what's coming perfectly, but I do know right here and now, if I act with the right understanding, with the right faith and intention, I'm doing everything in my power to create that better future for myself every single day. And that's living in the moment, being true to one's potential to be the dreamer and visionary of your own life. And we all need to be doing that. But Pisces is the best exampling of that, since it sums up that human experience. And in any individual's life, you're going to have aspects that are occurring that are challenging. And yet one understands that we only grow because we're often forced to, because something's not working, it's causing us some pain. And we then start to look at that and say, why is that painful? Why am I facing that frustration or delay? And there's a reason. And if I work through that reason, I've now acquired a great skill and sensibility. And often sometimes we suffer so that we do develop that greater degree of compassion, empathy later on in life for others who now are going through their own time like that. And we've been there, and now I can help them go through that too. And so that's why we had to go through it. So there's many different reasons as to why we may have some difficulties or suffering in our life, both from past lives and present life errors we've made. So no life is perfectly good or perfectly bad, I would say. But we can control that by our attitude and our faith. We can turn it around.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Good answer. So, Paige, there you have it. You don't have to listen to anyone's opinion other than your own. Okay. But thanks for calling
in. Thank you so much. Oh, and Jaden, I got your book.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paige. Are you enjoying it?
Oh, totally. Thank you so much for writing it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for calling in. We'll go to the next caller here. Have a great day. All right, Bill, there we go. Good question, to ask, well, mm-hmm. someone's giving her certain information, you know, and if they're saying, well, maybe they see something in their chart that may not be as positive as she wanted, and you say, well, no, you don't have to. You know, there's so many determining factors as to our experiences and outcomes, right? And with what
right.
we're manifesting, why would we have to?
Right.
I agree with you.
And we have set things in motion that we do have to accept and acknowledge and work through. And it's all for our growth and development. We're not down here on Earth just to have fun, though we'd like to have fun. we're here to grow and learn and become more all-knowing and truly loving without reservation. But we have to learn to do that, and it takes time. It does
and
take
it starts
time.
With self first, don't you agree?
It's all about self-knowledge and self-mastery, and developing that unconditional love for oneself is the precursor to being able to receive, to both give and receive that love to another. So yes, it all starts with you and with me.
Wow. Yes, and that's powerful. Let's put a asterisk around that and highlight that, and to say it really does begin with self-love, our ability to love ourselves, to give and receive, because then, you know, I've often said in my workshops and seminars, if you can't receive something as simple as like a compliment or a gift from someone, how do we expect the universe to bless us with all the amazing things it has for us, right? It starts with these little things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, let's dial in the next caller here and see who this is. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
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 Hello, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, who's this?
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure I was the one you were talking to. This is Kurt Schaefer.
Hi, Kurt. What question do you have for Bill or myself?
Well, it's my wife. I've been a practicing astrologer. It's not my profession, but she's gone through a real interesting time with Uranus and Pluto. Pluto's entered her sixth house. She's very focused and concerned about her health, as you might think. And as Pluto and Uranus are squaring off, they're kicking off a transit or a aspect in her own chart. She has a midheaven ninth house Jupiter at 8 degrees Aries, square her 12th house Uranus and Cancer at 7. So, and natally, those are only helped by a sextile from her Sun-Mars conjunction.
Kurt, do you have a specific question for Bill?
I my wife's health is. Any insight maybe you can have on that for her? She's listening here.
Okay. What's her actual birthday?
June 1st, 1951. I entered it on the Blog Talk Radio here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't have that. And yeah, what time is she born? Just quickly. I can just quickly look and see.
9:33 a.m. in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. Thank you. And that way, I'm looking at it because astrology, though you can imagine things and look at them in your head, it's a visual science. We're looking at the heavens. It's good to have that visual. So you said, what was the year again? You said June 1st. Now, what was the?
51,
June,
I heard.
June 1st, 51, 9:33 a.m. Okay, so sure. So Gemini with the Aries moon and Aries Jupiter in the ninth house. And so you say she's concerned about the transit of Uranus on Jupiter while Pluto squares Jupiter. Is that the question?
Yeah. Plus that Uranus in the 12th of hers.
It is important, certainly with powerful planets lining up on a planet that rules the house of health, Jupiter ruling her sixth house, that she do pay attention to health matters right now, certainly. You could argue that with Pluto there, it's the planet of transformation and rebirth, that it can provide a quickening to the system in terms of a need to regenerate or heal whatever part of the body is being affected. In this case, it would be typically the liver or the pancreas are said to be Sagittarius and or Jupiter rule. But I wouldn't want to give a quick diagnosis here at any, you know, for anybody in that regard. I would say it's more about, on a spiritual level, that there are some very powerful influences at work here in terms of her disposition and attitude, her philosophy about life, her search for truth and meaning that are really at the root of all this. And so to the extent that she is eager and discovering some and making some new realizations in terms of her belief system, that is what it's for in terms of her spiritual growth and development. What it could be bringing about physically is another level, but it certainly could be a cause of a concern. Having Pluto be her rising planet, certainly she would have a strong will and a capacity for regenerative work in her life anyways that would reinforce that for her. So I see it as a chance to sort of reexamine what is my truth, what is my belief, how do I know what I know in this period.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, Colin,
I mean,
thanks
there's
so much for calling in.
Thanks.
Okay.
Wow. You know, that's a toughie, right, when someone is asking about an issue around health, because like you say, there's so many determining factors that affect one's health beyond what the planets are doing, right? So that's
right.
I thought you did a great job with that.
Yeah, you want to spend some time looking at the chart and all the different factors and seeing what is at play here and what the individual may have gone through before. The mysteries and magic in terms of healing and self-healing, depending upon the energies that are at work, are unbelievable. I've had countless stories of people who were, you know, had difficult diagnoses in the traditional modern medicine, and then they, of course, surprised their doctors with their self-healing abilities and such. It's just quite remarkable to see that. But you want to be very careful, obviously, in giving someone advice and diagnosing or providing some sort of indication of what's causing something and how to alleviate it. That's something I would hesitate doing as I did just then. It's really not something you want to just off the cuff say, oh, do this or do that, and you'll be fine. You really want to approach it much more gently and sensitively and take your time with it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more of a longer sit with them and really look at other aspects of the chart. You know, maybe they would, although it sounded like the husband was into astrology, but it might help them to have a reading with you. And your readings are, 90 minutes or so? Or they're quite long,
well,
right?
Well, usually when I see somebody for the first time, I like to recommend they do the 2 one-hour sessions with me, which I charge $300 for, but I charge on an ongoing basis for someone to see me $200 per hour. for updates and such. But people can call up for quick questions, and I just sort of prorate my hourly rate for just 5 or 10 or 15 minutes of talking through a question. But they usually have had at least one or two sessions with me to sort of have an ongoing relationship there. But I've had people call up who are desperate and, you know, and scared and whatever, and you don't say, oh, I'll call me back in a week when I can talk to you. You just start working with them, and you don't worry about the money. You just try to help somebody.
Yeah.
That happens again and again, and people need help. There's lots of need out there. And so you don't think about it. You just get to work. But I would want to get to know somebody and talk to them about themselves a little bit before I would begin providing some kind of diagnosis or analysis or advice. Because the first rule of astrology is the same as in medicine: first do no harm. So you want to be respectful of them, because you're dealing with another being, another spirit, another child of the divine, and they deserve that consideration. And in treating them that way and considering them that way, it pulls that higher being closer into their own life as well. And that's how healing can happen. So you want to bring people out from within themselves to step into what they truly can be, and not have them run away in fear or be upset or angry or shut the door and regress. We need to keep growing. I mean, that's the primal force driving spirit in this universe. We are here to grow, as is the universe growing. And when it happens, we feel good.
Right.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're on the right track, right? When you do feel good and that, yeah. Bill, I think we have time. We'll just take one quick caller, maybe a minute or two here. Let's see. I've been waiting quite a bit. Let's see. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, Joe. What can we do for you? You have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll try to make it brief. I've gone through a long situation where, you know, I pretty much lost everything, and I'm in a kind of a low emotional state, but I found a retirement home, and I'm kind of maintaining at that point. So, I'm not desperate or anything, but I just want to know some release to my emotion. In other words, will I get a better outlook or something for some reason?
Okay, Joe, what's your birthday?
January 9, 1945.
And do you know what time you're born?
Yeah, I looked it up at 10:24 a.m.
And where were you born? What city?
In Philadelphia.
Okay. Brotherly love. Beautiful city. All right. Let me just take a quick look at what you've got here. All right. The last several years, Joe, you have had a tough transit. The planet Saturn's been moving through your eighth house, which is the house of unions and separations, and you are tested regarding the kind of support you're getting from the universe around you, and it's almost out of there, but it won't quite get out of there until later this year into next year. You'll see a lot more relief coming to you at that point in terms of a darker period having ended that maybe was necessary to go through, but having gone through it, you'll come to a greater awareness and understanding about things. Also, a very good news right now is Jupiter, which is the greater benefic, is moving through your third house, about to enter your fourth, which is the house of home and family and foundations, which should increase your sense of well-being throughout the year in terms of connections to the roots of your life, to family traditions, to your culture, to your ethnicity, something that centers you, something that makes you feel you're connected to the greater world around you, whether it's through your family or through something larger, will happen for you this year. And so you should look for that and seek for that in terms of I can center myself this year. That's what this year will really, really help you with, this spring into the summer. And then maybe some creativity and plays in your future as we go into the summer, because Jupiter then gets to your fifth house, which is about creativity and enjoyment of creativity and play. So get out and enjoy yourself. In whatever way you can exercise your creative self, you'd want to do that.
So it sounds like better things are ahead for our friend Joe there in Philadelphia.
Yes, I can sympathize with what he's gone through, but he's coming out of it very soon.
Good. So, my gosh, Bill, this went by so quickly. I can't believe it.
It does.
it does, yes. So tell us, all our listeners where they can find you and where they can find that wonderful blog that you write. And
The easiest thing nowadays, we all do it, everyone does it now, we just Google. And just if you just Google astrologer Bill Attride, that's Attride, or just Google Bill Attride, I'll jump on many, I'll be on many, many pages. Because I'm posting a lot of things, and so that's the easiest way. You can get to my blog, and there's contact information there, whether on Facebook or on the blog itself, to reach me or just start following and reading. And I hope they enjoy it.
Wonderful. My wife and I enjoy your blog. Everyone at her office enjoys it, and all our friends who we share it with. So I'm so grateful to you for writing it, and I'm grateful to you for coming on the show today. Thank you so much. You're fantastic, and I'd love to have you back on.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me, Jaden. we got through the troubles, and we
did.
That was,
we
persevered.
Did. We did. We persevered. We hung in there, regardless of what the planets had in mind or in store for us, and we got through it. What a fun show. And I'm reading everyone in the chat room saying, yes, wonderful show, very interesting show. They're very appreciative, as am I, Bill. So thank you for
great.
And to all our listeners.
And this will be available then, right? It'll be available as something that's recorded and people can listen to later on if they want to go back to it, right?
Yes, they can. They can go to the archives, and then we'll also have this up on iTunes, and we're going to put it up on my website as well. And I'll share the link with you so you can put it wherever you'd like as well, too.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Great, great.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And thank you, everyone. Stay tuned next week. I have Sonia Choquette coming back, a New York Times best-selling author. She'll be back on the Wealth and Wisdom Radio Show to share more secrets about manifesting our heart's desires. Have a fantastic week, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
I'm heading to Walgreens because I don't want to spend all allergy season sniffling and sneezing. Luckily, Walgreens is right around the corner so I can find allergy relief fast, like Allegra and Nasacort, to help me get through my toughest symptoms. Walgreens makes it easy to find allergy relief. So now, allergy season is just spring. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Now with cards, select Allegra and Nasacort products are $17.99 each. Use as directed.